And a scripture lesson I've chosen to read from 2 Timothy. And there at the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2, beginning at the first verse. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 16. One thing about the Christian, we have an aim. I think our one big aim in life is to be approved of God in this life and to hear the well done, good and faithful servant when Jesus comes back. Over and over, it is becoming clear to us that we cannot be approved of God without studying, without personally studying His Word. And that is the gist of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is a great challenge to us to study His Word. I don't want to bore you with personal things, but I couldn't sleep this morning. I had my sleep out, so I got up at 5 o'clock and went downstairs and studied. My cats didn't seem to care. I admit, though, that if I had a wife, she probably would complain if I did that. And in fact, one of the things that used to astound me, Brother McLean lived alone, and he'd send me a tape and say, well, I'm taping this at 3 a.m. on blah, 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 and give the date and so forth. So I'm not Jim McLean, but I do study quite a bit. But anyway, it's something we need to do, and it's a profession that all of us should have, a vocation that we should have. But looking at the context of this text in 2 Timothy 2, he said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is one of the things that I think is very special in the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, like the second verse, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. He was like a son to him in the work of the Lord. And some of his greatest advice and all that we even have looking over Timothy's shoulder as he's reading this letter, these are very dear to us too, to realize the relationship that they had. So he loved him as a son, and he's giving him his advice and the things that he should do. Bullinger's lexicon says, my dear child. It's okay, either one is very sweet. We see a challenge here, even as children, that we study and that we memorize. I remember one time in one of our churches, we had a very large family with children of all ages, and the mother and father were killed in an airplane accident and left the children to others to raise. And a couple of them were teenagers, but some were as small as 5 years. But the thing I'm trying to bring out here is that my dear child, my son, study, memorize. If you should be left fatherless or motherless, you have the Word of God to guide you. And as a result, we should develop habits of Bible study early in life. I never will forget when I was baptized at age 14. I said, well, I should be reading and studying the Bible. And I said, well, I guess I'll start with the Gospels. And the first thing I did, I ran into the parables. And I said, this just as well be Greek, because I just couldn't understand it. And so as a result, the thing that came to me later, of course, is that some of these things are spiritually discerned, as the scriptures say, and with our carnal minds, we just don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So this is what grows with us. We just have to, in fact, it's what I tell people even about studying Daniel and Revelation, any of these. A lot of things I don't understand about that, but I want to know what's there and what it says, so that when it comes time that it's fulfilled, I'll recognize it. But if you don't know what's there, it's not a warning. It's not a blessing to you, because you just don't know what's there. So we need to memorize. And one of the things that was very dear to me, Edna Brewer, who from the Brush Creek Church in Ohio, one of the dearest souls on earth. She was our matron at the student home, and she was really a mom to us. But at the table, we memorized scripture. And a lot of them, even after 60 years, I can quote them from memorizing them at that time. So it's not a worthless endeavor, because it is something that is very special and very much a blessing to us. The second verse of 2 Timothy 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I feel that this verse states the reason why we should be sound Bible students, so we can pass it on to others. And when you stop and think of the number of hands there are here, Paul said, the things you've heard of me, you is one, me is two, commit to faithful men, that's three, who shall be able to teach others also, that's four. There are four hands that this word is going through. Me, you, faithful men, and others. And this to me is one of the greatest reasons that we ever could have knowing the Word of God, is to be able to pass it on. It's not something to be hidden. It's not something that can be isolated. It is something that is living and powerful, and it needs to be lived and passed on to others. Faithfulness is a most needed quality in our lives. Going on then, we find that there's a charge. First of all, to a soldier. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whether we know it or not, we're in a war. And there's a war for men's minds. And there's a war for our lives. People trying to gain control over us and to have us as their own. And he said that you have to realize that as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to endure. You must not be entangled with the affairs of this life so that you are overcome, that you are not able to be a good soldier. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. That song, Onward Christian Soldiers, has a reference to this particular thing. So these are charges that we have as soldiers of Jesus Christ, not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life and to endure hardness. There's hunger. I think of our men from the South who fought in the war between the states. That I have a stack of letters written home, and they said, "Do you have any food you can send me? Do you have any shoes or socks you can send me?" And they were deprived and hungry, and were enduring hardness for the cause. But here we're talking about the heavenly cause of, you might say, standing for Jesus Christ against the enemies in this world. Another example he is using here is an athlete. The fifth verse, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. This is talking about the athlete. In fact, striving for masteries in the Greek is athleo, so it's using the word athlete here. But the conditions for being crowned are that you must strive lawfully, must train faithfully, and must obey the rules. We've just come through another Olympics, and one of the main things that they were looking for is people who were doping. I'll put that in quotes. And there were some medals that were taken away from athletes because they found that they tested positive for drugs, enhancing drugs to give them strength or speed. And that was not striving lawfully. So as a result, they did not deserve the crown because they may have trained faithfully. They just did not abide by the rules. And therefore, they did not receive the crown. The sixth verse is talking about the husbandman or the farmer or the vine dresser. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I think that's only fair, that the first ripe fruit or first ripe grain, whatever the crop should be to the man who raised it. And this again is a challenge or a charge. And then he said, "The Lord, consider what I say, the Lord give you understanding in all things." You notice it does not say the Lord give you knowledge in all things. We have to seek knowledge. We have to study to obtain knowledge. I went through the 12 grades of school and went to the Bible college. I never did find that I could put the book under my pillow and absorb the knowledge by osmosis. It just never did work. I had to hit the books. And so it is here that the Lord will give you understanding or wisdom in relationship to this. The verse that we really want to, that we're leading up to, is that 15th, as being a workman in the Word of God. And he lays down the conditions for approval, that we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That is, we must be diligent in it. And I agree with Paul when he talked about of the making of books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Anybody that's ever been a student, you know that you're tireder from studying than you are if you dug a ditch, because you're tired mentally and that makes you tired physically. But it's something that we have to be diligent in and to work hard, and it is hard work. And it goes on to say rightly dividing, and the Greek there is cutting straight the Word of God. And even if you leave the original word rightly dividing. I think that that is also true. In fact, I oftentimes bring out Isaiah the 28th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Whom shall he teach knowledge? This is Isaiah 28:9. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. But this idea of precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, is, in my notion, how the Word of God is given through the years. In fact, the way I've described it many times, people come to me and they say, well, preacher, how can I understand the Word of God? And he said, I can't just go to one chapter and find all there is to know about God or the resurrection or the kingdom. I said, no. I said, the Word of God is like a tape recording of God talking to us every day. He doesn't tell us all there is to know about himself one time or all about the kingdom one time, but he is conversing with us. And so we pick up from yesterday his name, today that he's God, and we learn that he's creator, and we learn that he's master, and that he has a son, and that he has children, and so forth. So we learn all those things little by little as we rightly divide the Word of God, here a little and there a little. In fact, I think if there's ever been a general complaint that I have received through the years by people not of our own faith, and some of our own faith says, well, you can prove anything if you jump around. But that's not what it is. We're not jumping around in the Word of God to try to prove anything. We're trying to rightly divide, cut straight the Word of God so that we can understand what he is saying to us. And because that is the way, that's the way this is given. And in fact, there are people who jump around deceitfully. And in fact, 2 Timothy 2:17 talks about the opposite of what we're talking about, and that's dealing deceitfully with the Word of God. And this is another thing that I have found through the years. It bothered me for a long time. Why can this guy down the road that doesn't have the truth influence so many people? And the answer is that the power God has invested in his word, it's in the word. The word of God is living and powerful. So if you use this verse wrongly, it has the same power that it does if you use it rightly. Now, isn't that scary? If you say, well, if we don't understand it or believe it wrong and you preach and teach it, it has the same power if you teach it right. That's why so many people believe it wrongly, because that power is there, even if you use that word wrongly. So we have to be careful that we are correctly dividing, rightly cutting, cutting straight the Word of God, and using it in the correct way. It is the truth. And that is, he goes on to say, concerning the truth, some have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So here you have them. There are people he knew, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were wrongly using the Word of God and overthrowing the faith of people. So we have to be very careful there that we Try to tell it right. And by this I would not say, don't witness to your friends or family for fear you might tell it wrong, but just tell it to the extent any of us know it to other people, praying that God will lead and bless as we use it. In verse 16, after saying that to work as workmen, he said, but to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto ungodliness. A lot of times we hear people go into things that they ought not in the word, as interpreting the word of God, and all they do is cause trouble and ungodliness. The thing that we are saying is that I think, are in a very critical period in the life of the church. It used to be that people did not have many outlets for their activities and their energy, and church was one of them, one of the main ones. I remember when I first came to Guthrie Grove in 63, and most of the members of the church were textile workers, and they worked 5.5 days, most of them, some of them 6 days. So when Sunday came along, there they were in church. That was their social outlet. That was their outlet in life, and it was very important. But the thing that we see now, that going back then, in fact, when talking about early days of the Guthrie Grove Church, of the Brush Arbor, and the fact that our forefathers of faith there met with people across the road with guns, and it was actually literally dangerous. But our people throughout the United States, and you study about it, they came out of the major churches of this world by their individual study. It caused them to come out and to be separate because they thought it was and knew it was important to do so. But we have lived so long that we are seeing the children and grandchildren of some of those people who have given up the fight and have laid down their Bibles and attending the very churches that their forefathers left through their study. I heard them say, well, they're real nice folks over there. I love their music. Yeah, I mean, there are just different things that can be said, but the thing of it is that it's dangerous. In fact, I love that quote in Pogo, we have met the enemy and they are us. That's too true. We're our own worst enemies. So that the charge and the challenge is still there, just like the charge to the soldier, the charge to the athlete, and the charge to the farmer. The charge is given to us as workmen in the Word of God to study and to dedicate ourselves to study and to the truth, that, as he said in the second verse, be able to pass it on to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. The Bible plainly says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the day of the Lord will not come until there's a falling away or apostasy first. I've heard a good many sermons where they always point the finger at some other group and say, look at the apostasy over there. But I always tell people, when you point a finger, you got three pointing at yourself. And it's not talking about people falling away from something they never had. It's talking about people who are falling away from something they did have. That's the only way it is a falling away. So I often think about this. We are living in such a strange world when there is this so-called political and religious correctness that you just can't say what you want to say. In fact, we are very close right now, according to law in the United States, for in the church not being able to say anything about homosexuality or any other sin. They say this is character assassination. And they're actually been trying for a long time to make this a law that we cannot talk about these things. Well, how bad is it going to be if you can't talk about the sins of the world? We'll just say, well, I guess that's okay. That's correct. Let's go along. What if it were against the law to have a Bible? What if it were against the law to teach our children? I think some people probably wouldn't miss the Bible if it was taken away. But it is something that I think we ought to be aware of and realize that the age in which we're living, because it has happened before in other lands where it was against the law to teach the Bible. We want to memorize it. We want to know it. We want to be able to recite it. We want to be able to tell it. In fact, I have read or heard, or both, that there are enough people around this world that have memorized every part of the Bible that we could put a Bible back together if every Bible in the world were burned. Some of the texts I probably could give verbatim. There are probably others that other people could too. I will never forget A.L. Corbelly from Washington and Emma Railsback at General Conference in 1940. The two of them stood face to face and quoted chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter of Scripture. It was astounding. But they just, it was just that memory and that dedication to the Word of God. It was there. They just kind of had a duel. And one would let off and the other would take up. It was wonderful. But they loved it and taught it and memorized it. The thing that we have to really do is to apply workmanship-like methods and skills to Bible study. I think Alva Huffer was one of the first that I ever heard say that theology is right along there with geology and all the other ologies, that is a science, and that there are ways of studying and that must be applied. And I would say personally, I've studied biology and chemistry and other things in my life. And yes, they're wonderful, but I don't think there's any greater study in the history of the world, any greater science in the world than the Word of God. We need to follow the rules of Bible study, studying God's Word and words, taking it like a tree, seeing the form, looking at the branches, then the twigs, then the leaves, then turning the leaves over. That is dealing with the individual words. We have to do as we were taught early on, determine who is speaking, to whom he is speaking, why he is speaking, and for what time. If we apply those four rules, we will hardly ever go wrong. But the thing that we're trying to get across is the only way we can be approved of God is to study as workmen. Rightly cutting, rightly dividing the Word of God so that we come up with the right result and the truth of God that will influence us and affect our lives and those around us, and something to pass it on to someone else that they might be blessed by it too. So may we be challenged daily to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We thank you for your time.